Good morning, Orlando. This is Deborah Roberts, and you're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio on News Radio 93.1 WFLA. Now, in studio, your host, real estate expert, and my friend, Laura Peterson.
Good morning, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or will buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555, or on your cell, you can hit #250, and the keyword is real estate. So lots of great stuff to talk about again today. When it comes to real estate, there's always enough to talk about, obviously, and all of that, and what's going on and what's out there. And it's always really good just to see, you know, the market moving, because that means that the economy's good. And everything's going as planned and as should be and all of that kind of good stuff. We've got some great stuff that we're going to talk about today. One of them is the best place to own rental property in Florida, which happens to be right here in Orlando.
Wow.
So, yeah, because the because as we talk about many times, is that the property rentals are always going up. So that's one thing we're going to talk about, but in regards to the last minute snags and how to solve them when it comes to buying or selling a house, because they kind of do happen, unfortunately. So I think we'll go ahead and start with that. And it's really, really interesting in doing this. And some of the things to me is very frustrating when things are slowed down or whatever, and people don't meet the deadlines. You know, the contract, when you enter into a contract to buy real estate, there are very specific timelines that are in it that everybody is to abide by, or the contract goes into default. And then when it goes into default, then there's, you know, this is the next thing that's going to happen, and people's deposits are
in jeopardy
and, you know, lose them many times and that kind of thing. And then the other thing that can happen is that, you know, you can actually get sued for not performing and that kind of stuff if you're a seller. So it's like it's serious business. It doesn't mean that you enter into this lightly, and it doesn't mean like you don't do it. It's just that you need to know what you're doing in order to do it, is what it really comes down to. And one of the things that probably is a last minute snag that comes in more often than it should is lender delays.
Mm-hmm.
And every lender is different in regards to how they process everything and what they do. Some lenders won't order the appraisal until the people are approved. And that really, really delays things, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one of the questions that we ask a buyer's lender when we're dealing with the seller is, you know, when do you order the appraisal and when is that going to be done? Because that causes more problems than it absolutely needs to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it takes like almost a week or two, it seems like, to get them ordered out there. And then it takes them like another week to come up with their appraisal. So now you've already got, you know, 2 to 3 weeks sometimes already into the loan. And usually a typical loan is 30 days. So that's like really waiting to the last minute to get it done and, you know, over with. Because then if something comes back with the appraisal, you need time to be able to negotiate it. So it plays a big role.
Yeah. And what's happening today is that a lot of times lenders will not submit the package to underwriting until they have every piece of paper that they think that they'll ever want.
Yeah.
Now, this hasn't been necessarily requested from the underwriter, but it's been requested, you know, from that loan officer, from an underwriter at some point in their 20-year career. And so they think that they need to have every one of those documents that anybody has ever asked for in order to submit it. And, you know, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
They do that kind of stuff. And you know, there are verifications of income and verification of employment that do have to be done. And a lot of times when you're dealing with big companies and that kind of stuff, they have their procedures on how they do that. And it is not something that happens overnight, like the final verification of employment where they call them up and say, hey, does so-and-so still work there? I mean, obviously that's a simple mm-hmm. thing, but when they want to know, you know, how much did they make this year and how much did they make last year right. and what's the likelihood that they're still going to be working there, you know, after they've bought this house. I mean, the person who's filling out that piece of paper doesn't know all that information
yeah.
if they're going to be working there next week or not. And so they have to make sure that they go and they find that stuff out. So having all of this stuff very systematized mm-hmm. and done makes a lot of sense, but it doesn't always happen. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Front Gate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Front Gate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555. And another thing that happens then is that once the loan goes into underwriting and it comes out, then there's always going to be more things that the underwriter is asking for or
definitely.
Wants to re-verify or something like that. And the thing that bothers me is that when people say at the last minute, oh, yeah, everything's great, everything's great, everything's great. And then all of a sudden, no, it's we Not. Need another, you know, 2 weeks or weeks or something like that. And the problem is that it is a steamroll effect for everybody.
Yeah. It's like it messes up. So there's so many more people involved in the loan. So,
yeah,
you know, you have the sellers, the buyers, you know, the lender, the title company, everybody, the realtors, everybody's involved in here. And so we're all working towards a day. And then when you put a wrench in and say, oh, well, by the way, we need an extra week. I mean, you never know. Maybe they've already given their notice and they need to be out, or they've already got the lights transferred and disconnected. You know what I mean? There's so many.
They've got movers already lined up. They've got everything all packed up. You know, I mean, it's like so many things. And then there's the next house that they're doing, and that same seller is in the same bind and everything. And it just really doesn't make sense for that to happen. And one of the reasons that it happened is because it happens, in my opinion, is because there's two types of lenders. There's the lenders that are buying, that are working on the new homes that people are buying that you're going to move into. And then there's also the lenders that are working on the house that you own and you want to refinance.
Yep.
Now, when you're refinancing, most of the time, there's not really a big reason and a big deadline that you need to have that money by. So it's like if they miss the deadline, it's like, oh, well, we'll do it tomorrow. And, you know, for most of the time, that's okay. I mean, there's still reasons why people are refinancing that mm-hmm. they might need, you know, some of that cash flow and need it immediately for a medical reason or whatever,
yeah.
that they can't wait, you know, for the delays and that kind of stuff either. But what happens with a lot of those lenders is that they're working with people that are refining. And so when it comes to doing an actual purchase, you know, they don't understand that it messes everybody up.
Yeah.
And they just think one more week is not going to matter. And one more week matters a lot. And so it's something that we're always on top of. And we can talk to them one day. We talk to them all the time, finding out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talk to them the next day and they're like, oh, well, we need this. And I'm like, well, why didn't you know that yesterday? I mean, obviously it just didn't pop out of the sand. But that's one thing that can happen. Another thing that can delay your closing is unfinished business. And what this is that the seller was supposed to move out, but they really weren't quite ready to move out. And that's always interesting, too. So it's like that's kind of like all hands on deck. You know, let's get those people out of there and figure out what's going on. And, you know, so there's that final walkthrough and the buyers want the house vacant when they're doing that final walkthrough because they want to make sure that, you know, nothing happened during the move and they didn't take anything that they weren't supposed to take. Like if they took the refrigerator that they weren't supposed to take. Exactly. Ceiling fans. You got that right there. And so, you know, so that's kind of another big thing that, you know, you want to check on. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com. And we will see you after the break.
You're You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or you can hit #250 on your cell phone, and the keyword is real estate. So we were talking about reasons that your closing might get delayed and how you can resolve it, which we spent a lot of time on the lenders, probably throwing them under the bus, you know, sometimes more than what we need to. I mean, we do have people that close on time, lenders that we work with, but there are some of them that do not. And I think, Danielle, you have a little blacklist going.
Yeah, I do.
Of people
for that reason. Well, I have blacklist of realtors. I have blacklist of handyman. I mean, a little blacklist, title companies, you name it.
Uh-huh.
But it's just one of those things, like you said. I mean, everybody's working towards a goal. And if it doesn't happen and they just keep delaying stuff or they don't do the work or what have you, then, yeah, you're definitely going on my blacklist.
So I always check to see if it's on Danielle's blacklist. But basically, you know, we were talking about unfinished business when it comes to, you know, the walkthrough when the seller is still moving out and the place is just a mess and all of that kind of stuff. So usually the closing date does not get extended for that, but there is a lot of discussion and a lot of how are we going to get this done and who can we get over here now to get done. And all of those kinds of things, because that has to be done, you know, efficiently. And if the loan is ready to go, you can't delay the closing. Otherwise, you have to start the whole loan thing all over again. So that's usually not an option. Another one that sometimes runs into problems that we definitely, you know, work on this to get done a lot sooner is incomplete repairs. So what happens is that there's a time where you're doing an inspection and then there might be some repairs that you're requesting the seller to do or the seller agrees to do. And in that, if they're doing that, then you have to reinspect it and make sure that the repairs were completed, you know, to your satisfaction. Sometimes you can just rely on a bill from somebody that says that they were doing it, but you're still going to look at that stuff when you walk through. So knowing that that's going on and want to make sure that that's happening. So, you know, having everybody on the same page and keeping everybody in the loop in regards to what's happening is obviously critical to make sure that those incomplete repairs are done and that the repairs are completely done. So you definitely want to make sure that you've checked that out in plenty of time. And another thing that can happen is the undiscovered or undisclosed property condition. So when you look at a house, a lot of times that you go in there and, you know, they've got the candles going and everything smells great, or they've got that cinnamon brewing on the stove with the oranges and all of that. And then, you know, everything gets moved out and there's a huge tear in the middle of the rug that they just happen to have this table sitting there or something. Exactly. And, you know, or, you know, they had pets in there and the pets are, you know, really, you should have smelled that pet smell, you think, when you first walked in there and you're like going, oh my gosh, you know, do I still want this house or whatever? And so some of those kinds of things, you know, they all can be negotiated is what it comes down to. So, you know, as a result of this, can we take $500 off the price or $1,000 off the price or whatever it is, in order to really still make it happen and to do all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the contract is that you should be in broom swept condition, you know, is really but what does that mean? I mean, it means something different to everybody. It's really nice if you would actually clean your house after you move out, because a lot of people, you know, when they get down to those last few items, it's just like, oh my gosh, I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, it's
whatever's left is left.
And you could do it from a room going out. Like, that's what I would always do. I would get all the rooms and then I would go in there and mop or broom or sweep or whatever, wipe the windowsill, things like that, and then close the door. And then I'm done with that room. So I don't have to turn back time and go in there the same. And then that just made it easy on my way out. Instead of looking at it like, oh my gosh, I got to mop all these rooms now. Just do it as you're emptying the rooms and it just works out easier.
Yep. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the News Talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555, or on your cell, you can hit pound 250, and the keyword is real estate. And then the next thing is MIA, and that's obviously where things go missing that were supposed to be there. Maybe it's a washer, dryer.
Yeah, or the refrigerator, like you said.
Or the refrigerator.
Ceiling fans.
Or a light fixture or something like that. And when you're going to go to sell your house, I think you're not going to take out the washer and dryer and that kind of stuff if you're not going to leave it there. But if the house is vacant, definitely have everything the way that it's going to be. If you're going to change out a ceiling fan or you're going to change out a light fixture, instead of saying it's excluded, you're much, much, much better off going ahead and changing it even before you put it on the market.
Yep, exactly.
Because, you know, it's a lot better to have that light fixture sitting in the garage ready to go with you as opposed to up on the ceiling and somebody comes in. But that's the only reason I wanted to buy that house is because it had that particular
item
and that kind of stuff. And that just put the whole thing together. And it's just not worth it.
Nope. And it happens, honestly, more often, I think, than it should sometimes. Because
when
you get to move, and that's sometimes when you're doing the initial listing, you know, maybe you're not thinking about it. And then when you start moving and you start packing, then you're like, oh my gosh, I want to bring that. And you don't think anything of it. Like, I should let my realtor know, hey, I'm going to take this with me. And then you switch it out. You know, usually they put a different item there. But like you said, I mean, a lot of times that chandelier just was so perfect above the foyer, you know what I mean? Or the foyer, however they call it. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's missing. I don't even want it now. I don't get the same, you know, feel when I walked in. So those are things that you definitely want to put in the contract or take it out if you're going to take it.
Well, and I recently was showing a house and they had a ceiling fan in there that they had all of the kids' handprints on it. So they had, so at different ages, they had put their handprints on the blades of the fan. And so they said that they definitely were taking it with them. And of course, you know, it's like the buyer's like, well, I don't want their kids' handprints. I mean, it's a cute idea, but it wasn't something that they wanted and everything. But they said, well, as long as they replace it, because the new buyer coming in there doesn't want to think, oh my gosh, I've got to put together the ceiling fan and hang it up and all of that kind of stuff. I would just prefer that it was all done and didn't have to deal with it. And so it really comes down to being very clear as to what you want or don't want. Mm-hmm. But again, if you have that all done before you put it on the market, it never becomes an issue.
Nope.
And that's the way we like it. And then the other thing that can get in the way is natural natural hazards or weather delays. And, you know, unfortunately, if we've got some kind of weather coming through that's a hurricane or a storm or something like that, then that definitely can put delays in it. And that's one that everybody can, you know, go along with. But what happens is that when a storm is named and there's a warning that it's coming that way, everything kind of stops, because you have to understand that with the new person who's buying that home, first of all, they're going to have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And no insurance company is going to write a new policy on a home that's in the path of a hurricane that's like coming right for you. And so as a result of that, you know, they put a moratorium really on new policies being issued
until the
storm has passed. So, you know, it gives time for everything to calm down and all that kind of good stuff. And then just making sure that, you know, after the storm happens, that nothing was damaged or anything. We ran into that last year where we had to go through all of that. But in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. And with me this morning is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or you can hit #250 on your cell, and the keyword is real estate. So I think that we'll spend a little bit of time talking about investors and the things that they might want to, you know, buy and that kind of stuff right now. Orlando actually is the single family home rose 6.4% in July in Orlando. So, you know, we talk about it all the time that the rental prices are going up, up, up. And they definitely are. And so we are the highest increase in the country. Nationwide, the rental rate went up by 0.3%, and ours went up 6.4.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we got so much going on here, so might as well, right?
Well, and so, you know, I mean, it's outpassed Vegas. So Vegas was the winner, and now we are the winner when it comes to the amount of rent. So if you're out there renting, that is not good news in any way, shape, or form. And so it's like metro areas with limited new construction, low rental vacancy, and strong economies attract new employees, tend to have stronger rent growth. Now, we don't have limited new construction here. We have lots of new construction. There are low rental vacancies, and as you guys drive around town, you're going to see more and more apartments, you know, spring up here, there, and everything. And we have a very strong local economy, and that's what keeps everything going and everything, which is really great. The rental prices have been steadily rising since 2010, are likely to continue to grow, given current market conditions of low inventory and high demand. And so they expect things to keep on going. And they do say that rent hikes in southern cities can be attributed in part to the range of hurricanes and other natural disasters. I don't necessarily, well, they're saying like in states of Texas. I don't think that that's necessarily in Orlando. We didn't have properties that were completely destroyed. Well, we did a few, but not too many in the big scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had people that had damage to their homes that had to repair them, and a lot of roofs that had to be replaced. But, you know, there wasn't a lot of damage that didn't really contribute to that. But it's really the job growth and everything that is causing the big thing here. And so what they're showing is, you know, like it's show. I mean, we are definitely far above everybody else. I mean, Vegas is probably a percent down lower than we are, over 20 markets and everything. And then you just go down the path from there. So the least highest raise in rental rates is in Seattle, Washington, if you want to go there. But Orlando is number one in regards to, so that's just good for those people that own property and that want to own property. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, and there was another thing that I saw that said that, you know, there's not a lot of flipping that's going on right now. And I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago that said that's what they did for a living, is that they bought houses and flipped them. But not now, that is not the move for investing in real estate right now. The move for investing in real estate right now is buy and hold.
Yep.
And you can make it on the rental prices and all of that kind of stuff is what you can do. So Orlando is one of the best cities to own. And so we're right here. So I think that's a really good deal. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1, the News Talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555, or you can hit #250 and the keyword real estate on your cell. So, you know, and this is what I was just talking about, is that U.S. home flipping hits almost 4-year low, you know, right now, with the flipping. And it's because, number one, there aren't as many distress sales. I was just looking at the 10-year history of the Orlando market. And right now, with all of the distress sales and short sales and that kind of thing, which is what I saw, it's about 2-3% of the market.
Wow.
That are that, well, not distressed, but REO properties and short sales, which REO is real estate owned and the bank owned properties. So it's only 2-3% of the market, whereas a few years ago it was about 75% of the market.
Yeah.
So
we bounced back really nice.
Exactly. And so that's, there aren't very many of those out there. And so people that are selling them usually have them in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, you're not going to run into too much problem on that. The other thing is that with the financing and that kind of stuff, whereas when flips are completed, 38% of them were purchased with financing, which was up from 36% in the previous quarter. So the cash sales, you know, are going down a little bit and that kind of thing as well. And that's because there's more and more financing available and everything that's out there. And one of the things that I had seen is that it was saying that, you know, that there, that the financing is much more, it's easier, but it's harder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's exactly what we find, is that, you know, there's definitely a lot of programs out there for people, but when you're going through the process, it's like, sometimes I'm sure that everybody going through it at some point thinks, is this all worth it? Because the thing is that there's just so many questions and so many things that you have to do, and so many times that you have to resend the same thing that you sent before. And I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago, and they told me, well, I know I've sent that to that to that lender before, but they told me they never got it. Mm-hmm. Which is a typical thing. And so your idea that you always talk about is put a little folder on your desktop, put everything that they ask for in there, and then when they ask for it again, it's going to be an easy thing and you're not going to have to hunt for it.
Correct.
Because that's the big thing. And normally it's the same stuff, or it's a new paycheck or a new, you know, bank statement that you've gotten that you just have to update. And outside of that, you know, there's not a lot to do. And obviously when you're buying a home, you know, you don't want to make other big purchases. Like, you don't want to go out there and buy a car during that process, or buy a boat, or even buying furniture and buying appliances of the house that you're going to move into. You don't want it to do any of those things until after you've sold you bought the house that you're going to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Because any little thing could put you into tilt. It could change your interest rate. It could change a lot of things. And it's just easier not to mess with it if you don't have to. And so I think that that's a really good, thing to do, is like when you're looking to get a loan. And obviously there are a lot of people out there that have saved their money and that have the cash.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes the sale go that much easier. And a lot of the things, though, with people paying cash, is that they think they're going to get a much, much, much better deal.
Yeah. And it's not even the case, because, I mean, I've had it where, you know, the house has received multiple offers and the cash buyer, you know, ends up winning, but they've gone maybe $5,000 or $10,000 over list price because, you know, that was where the market demanded. So it wasn't, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to come in and I'm paying cash, they're going to go with my offer either. You know what I mean? Like, because they're, you know, it still has to work for the seller. But I mean, it's been where it's turned on both avenues, where, okay, well, if I really want this house, I'm going to have to pay even more than what it's at, even for a cash buyer.
Yeah. And the thing is that when you're really, you know, looking at it and you think that you're a cash buyer, the only thing that is going to be different to the seller is that maybe the time frame that you're going to be closing, you know, and it's like they're not going to have to deal with any appraisal issues and that kind of stuff. So if the house is worth what they're saying, then the appraisal issue is not going to be there, number one. And the second thing is that if you have to delay it a week, but you're going to make an extra $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 than what the cash guy was going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are going to do it. There are going to be those people out there that are going to just be, I just want to be done and hit and run. but that's not every seller out there.
Mm-mm.
And those are few and far between because, you know, money is money and people want to, you know, have what's due to them and that kind of stuff. And they're not just going to cut you a deal because they like the way you smile or something like that. You know, I mean, these are big decisions for people. And so they just want to make sure that they're getting exactly what they need and when they need it and all of those kinds of things.
Yeah, excellent. Exactly.
So, yep. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Pumet, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or on your cell phone, you can hit #250, and the keyword is real estate. So we're going to talk about the perks of buying a home in the fall because, as you know, it is fall and everything like that. And so, you know, not like we have to worry about the weather changing in order to to do that, but there are still some things that you might want to consider if you're looking to buy a home right now. Mm-hmm. One of the things, obviously, is what we just talked about, you know, a segment or two ago is the rising rental rates. And so, you know, buying a home now would obviously make sense because if you are going to be renting, it's going to keep going up.
Yeah.
And there's one buyer that I'm working with that, you know, definitely in that position that the rent on the house that they were renting was going up $200 and they were at like 14. Now it's going to 16.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really big increase for them. And they can't afford it. And, you know, so they're buying a 4-bedroom house that is actually going to be, you know, cheaper rent than it would be, or cheaper payment than it would be, you rent, know, for the rent and everything like that. So it's amazing what you can do. And so that makes a big difference. Another thing is to enjoy year-end tax breaks. So, you know, you can take advantage of the mortgage interest and the property mm-hmm. tax deductions and everything, you know, for this year. And so that's really good. And then the other thing that's important when it comes to tax breaks is that in Florida, you know, everybody wants to homestead their house
mm-hmm.
if you're going to be living in it. And what that will do is that will save you probably about $750 right now on your property taxes.
Yep.
So obviously you want to do that. And then that kind of locks you in so that if the property taxes go up mm-hmm. or the values go up, which they probably will, then you're also going to be locked into that property tax rate and it's not going to go up significantly. It can go up like 1 or 2% a year or something like that. But, you know, you're kind of locked into that. And you, in order to get homestead, what you have to do is you have to own the house by December 31st and then you have to apply for it by February 28th, I believe.
Yep, absolutely correct.
So in doing that, you know, you're going to want to, you know, close your house, obviously, by December 31st in order to get that homestead advantage for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really a good idea to go ahead and do that so that you've got that advantage when it comes to, you know, living in your house for the next year.
Yeah.
So that's a really good thing to do.
Yeah. Plus, if you do anything to the house, like you add solar panels or certain windows and things like that, you can get tax breaks also. So a lot of advantages in owning that you can get, you know, reap the benefits later on.
And the other thing is that you might have more bargaining power because you might have less competition.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean a lot, you know, in this area, you know, because everything's pretty consistent as we go across. But, you know, you might have more bargaining power a little bit because you might not be as many out there. And then you can be home for the holidays, literally, you know, so you could be in your new place and enjoying it and everything like that, where everybody else is just starting to look or whatever. And you can go ahead and have that great situation, you know, for yourself in order to make that thing happen.
Exactly. Yeah, nothing's more fun than like decorating, right?
Exactly. And knowing that you're all settled and you can have lots of parties and everybody's in the partying mode and can come to your new house. It'll be actually really great for you to have. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. Your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555 or on your cell, you can hit #250 and the keyword is real estate. So kind of looking at the stats from the last 20 years in the Orlando market, I found some things that were kind of interesting. You know, when we were looking at 1999, which was about 20 years ago, obviously, the interest rate was at 6.75%.
Yeah, I'm 2 points higher than what it is now.
Yep, and what this report shows is that it is about 4.59 now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I know that they were in the threes for a while and all of that kind of stuff. Primarily, they were in the threes. Let's see, they were in 2013 for a little while, and then they were in 2015 and 2016, most of the year in 2016, and then 17 was kind of varying between 3 and 4 and that kind of stuff. But you know, it really has hovered kind of somewhere below 5 since, let's see, when was it? It was, let's see when the 5s kind of started or went down to that. 2011. So, and 2010 was kind of when they were still, you know, in the 5s and everything like that. And the first month of 2011, they were in the 5s, and then they haven't seen, you know, 5 since then, but they've been a lot of 4s, 4.5s and everything like that. So with the interest rate changing, you know, it changes just ever so slightly when you're looking at it. And so it makes a little bit of difference, but it doesn't make a whole lot of difference sometime. And just like, from 1 month to another, like it went for 4.61 to 4.69.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a baby step and everything of what's going on. When you're looking at the number of sales, you know, we were always kind of in 1999, there was only about 1,000 sales a month. And that was in January, which January is always kind of a low month. And then they were always like 1,500, but never went up to over 2,000. But the first time there were 2,000 sales in a month was 2001.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now they're hovering somewhere around, you know, 3,000, 3,500 a month. So it's
almost double.
Almost double. So that probably goes along. I don't know what our population is when we're looking at that and that kind of stuff. And, you know, now this can be good news or bad news, depending on how you look at it. But in 1999, the median price of a home was $105,000. And now in 2018, it's $286,000. If you would have bought a house in 1999, look at how much appreciation you would have had in your house.
Oh my gosh.
And that's really what kind of happens in general in real estate, you know, when you're looking at that, is that the appreciation of the house is always something that's kind of a bonus. I mean, so when you look at it, rent versus own, mm-hmm. you were paying that money in rent, the same amount as you were paying to purchase a house, yet the house went up in value because of appreciation. You got all the tax write-offs.
Yep.
And it just goes on and on and on. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com. And we will see you next week. Have a great one, everybody.
Have a good one.